anointed the oil with me. We have it right here. And we'll pray together again and do that and believe together. I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about our hearts and how they work. And I got this off the internet concerning the subconscious mind. It says your subconscious mind, which is what we know as the spiritual heart, has what is called a homeostatic impulse. That's a big word. What's it mean, eh? It keeps your body temperature at 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, just as it keeps your breathing regular, keeps your heart beating at a certain rate. Through your autonomic nervous system, it maintains a balance among the hundreds of chemicals in your billions of cells so that your entire physical machine functions in complete harmony most of the time. Adam's body functioned perfectly before the fall, and his body was created to live forever. So this is called a homeostatic or homeostasis thing, a homeostatic impulse. It comes from the word homeostasis. And this whole homeostasis principle works also in your emotional realm and your mental realm. In other words, we have these emotional problems, plus we got we're growing in the Lord, we got his love and his peace in our heart. But when something happens, that homeostasis principle keeps all these things working in harmony with what has happened as our heart reacts to what has happened according to how it is programmed. All right? So it just automatically happens. When we first become a Christian, we have all these problems, or I did. And so whenever something happened, my heart would react according to all these problems, because that homeostasis principle causes all of those things to stay, work together in that sense. And so we can't change ourselves. Our hearts don't want to change, because that homeostasis principle works in conjunction with the programs that we have in our heart, or the emotions that we have in our heart. That's what it has to work with. But there is a homeostasis principle that works in our heart, in our mental processes, everything. This is why the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Also why it says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, thereby deceiving yourself. Because you can know in your head and in your mind who you are as a new creation and everything that the Bible says and know the Bible, but this is why the Bible says knowledge puffs up. And so you can know all this in your head, but until you believe it in your heart and put it into practice so that your heart changes, see, your heart has to change so that that homeostasis principle has something different to work with than what it's doing. So your heart doesn't really want to change because of the way it's been programmed. I know that's a little technical, but it helps to understand better. So literally, this is why Jesus said, love your enemies. If you just love those that love you, what benefit is it to you? When someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Jesus is talking about stretching ourselves, living beyond what's in our heart, living by faith in this new creation, in the love of God, the peace of God, and praying for your enemies, praying for those that persecute you. See, when I go to countries like Ethiopia, the pastors are going home at night and their family is being abused and tormented by the Muslims, and they sit there and think of ways that they can get even with these Muslim leaders. See, that's that homeostasis principle working with the stuff in their heart. Then I teach them, you got to love your enemy. Every pastor has to love his enemy, or he can't pastor if he's got these emotional problems. And so they finally see what I'm saying, and then they say, you're right, and they stand there and cry, because all this time they were looking how they would get even. Pastor Gaetanet has changed his whole life, his whole ministry, just by this teaching on sacrificial love for others and the heart and why we act the way that we do. But a person, if they don't take the steps to grow in the Lord and be a doer of the word, then this is all that their heart has to work with. But when I, in spite of what anybody does to me, all my emotions can react, but I have the spirit of self-control, so I control them and love those people in spite of what they do to me, which then causes the love of God that's in my born-again spirit to become a part of my heart. This all gets weaker, and I change the homeostasis principle, because now it's got a little bit of love to work with. And the more love I get in my heart, then the stronger I become, and then everything stays in a better balance because my love is stronger. Love is the homeostasis principle that God has in his heart. He is love. And so love keeps his, that's why he's so merciful and so gracious. But he's also a just God. And so he gives everybody 1,000 chances, but if they just refuse and refuse and refuse. Remember that he didn't get the people out of Egypt until the sin of the Amalekites or the Amorites had reached its fulfillment. Then he brought them out and overthrew those countries because they had all this time where they were living, sacrificing the children and everything else to false gods. He'd had enough. Judgment was coming. So now, at the right time, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt and gave them the victory over those lands. See, God is just in everything that he does. If those people were good people, maybe they didn't know God, but they were living a good life, God would not have overthrown them and given, you know, it just wouldn't have happened because he's a just God. And so he sees the big picture. He sees every heart. When the flood came in Noah's day, God saw that the thoughts of man was only evil and wicked all the time. And so his heart was grieved that he had made mankind on the earth. And so he wiped mankind off the earth except for Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and his family. See, because of his great love for people, because he created man in his own image, and yet he saw them serving the devil all the time, then finally his heart was grieved because his heart was not fulfilled by the response of his people to him for having created them and being there to look after them. And so he wiped mankind off the face of the earth. That's the wrath of God. They have kindled my wrath. Don't even pray for them anymore. I've given them 100 chances and they refuse to serve me. And so he wiped mankind off the face of the earth. God is love, but the foundation of his throne is built on justice and righteousness. And we know from the Bible, in Colossians, it said, put on these virtues. Since you have come to know Christ, now put on these virtues. Put off the old man, put on the new self, and build these virtues into your life. But over all of these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. So there again, we see that that love of God is the homeostasis principle that every heart needs to be strong. And so if I'm strong in love, all of this is weaker. So it keeps my pride in proper check. It keeps my rebellion in proper check. It keeps my rejection in proper check. And it gives me a better balanced life and a more godly life. And I always keep walking in love and growing so that these get even less and less. Because if I get under pressure, one of these can start, the devil can play with your emotions and get you all worked up and they can get out of control. But love keeps us in proper control. You grow in love more, you catch yourself thinking wrong sooner because you realize, whoa, this is wrong, this is not right. And so as we walk in love, we're walking in the light. And his word is a light unto our path. I run in your commands, Lord, because you have set my heart free. And so this homeostasis principle also works in our hearts with our emotions to keep everything within our heart functioning properly in line with how it is programmed. It just happens automatically. This is why love is so important. Paul said, I pray that you are knit together in love. As we love one another like we do here, then we become one in spirit, one in heart, because we care for each other. If something happens to one of you, we're all hurting. That's why we all pray. And this is what needs to happen in the body of Christ. Part of our call is unity. To this you were called. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. But the church is so splintered with different theology and denominationalism, and even the denominations are splitting. We are so splintered because this is what I believe. If you don't believe what I believe, then I don't want nothing to do with you. Or I don't want people to think, I'm not going to hang around with you. I don't want people to think that I believe like you believe. You know, all this kind of stuff. So we're supposed to be one harmonious body, loving the Lord and working together in our community. And we are so splintered, we can't even talk to each other about what we believe and why we believe it. And so this is what we're trying to do, help facilitate this concept of unity. This is why I do heart seminars. This is the way it happens overseas, so that God can deal with the problems of our heart that are stopping unity from happening. And if we can get people working together and caring for one another, it changes the homeostasis principle in the body of Christ to love, to seeing the bigger picture, that Jesus is Lord of all of our lives. Nobody's in charge. God is going to facilitate this thing and bring it together. But that's hard to do when you haven't taught anybody. And so it comes through a process of building relationships. I'm building relationships with key people that are connected to other people, get doing heart seminars. God deals with their lives. The Holy Spirit shines a spotlight on them and tells them, this is wrong with your life, that's wrong with your life. And then they understand, because this is causing them, the homeostasis principle in them is causing this to keep them going around that mountain in the wilderness for 40 years and not seeing clarity. Or if they have a lot of pride, they can't see their problems. So when you do a heart seminar, the Holy Spirit shows them their problems. We never have enough time to teach the whole thing, just the basic concepts. And they're supposed to go home and study the rest of the notes they have, but I don't know if they do or not, because they're so busy, and they know this. Now they know a little bit more. Okay, that's good. That's all I need to know. And they keep on going. But eventually, I need to be more aggressive in telling them that all the notes are important. But it takes time. I mean, just teaching this principle alone, this homeostasis principle and how it works in our lives, has taken me 10 or 15 minutes already. I get teaching a heart seminar and it's like 2 hours are gone by and I'm about an eighth of the way done. So then I gotta rush the rest into the next 3 hours. And when I go overseas, I use an interpreter. So then I got 2 hours to teach about 12 hours of teaching. So this is the problem I have. But anyways, God speaks to them. I tell them what to do. If they don't do it, then it's between them and God. I'm doing my part, but it's hard to get people even to come out, never mind. But once they come out and listen to it, then they're glad they came. Now, this, I want to apply this principle to help understand divine healing. Because the Bible says, believe in your heart and do not doubt. See, whatever doubt we have, maybe it comes from our negative self-image, our self-rejection, or fear of rejection, or what if God doesn't heal me? What if I'm not good enough? Or what if I'm this? Or what if I'm that? See, we put ourselves into the equation. That's why we taught last week. And the first week, I had Kathy give you some of her testimonies where she just, this morning, she wanted to come to church. I almost had to order her to stay home or make very strong suggestions. You can't order Kathy to do anything. I had to make very strong suggestions. What really sold her was, you guys might get the sickness. But she just, I'm not used to giving in to sickness. You know, she's just strong, and which is good. I need her to be strong. But she needs to listen once in a while, because you know, when you have a cold, you need, I mean, you're to the point where you're dizzy walking around the house, and you're going to go to church and get more tired and get more dizzy. Like, go to bed, lay down, and rest. And so she finally agreed with me. But I had her give, she's not, if she gave in to sickness, she would have been dead long ago. So she just keeps fighting and fighting and fighting the good fight of faith. She gave one testimony where she got healed at my mom's funeral. She was sitting there in pain, and all of a sudden the pain was gone. And she went to the doctor. They'd taken a CAT scan or something 3 weeks earlier, and it showed that she was healed 3 weeks earlier, but the pain was still there. And so she just kept believing, and then all of a sudden God took the pain away. But the x-ray showed that the problem was gone already for 3 weeks. I'd never heard of that before. But she just got healed while she was sitting there. But she just, you know, when the doctor said, you'll be back in 3 weeks begging me for an operation, she gets an attitude. She gets mad at the devil. She gets mad at the doctor. My Jesus is bigger than that. You're not telling me what he can do and what he can't do. So she takes that anger and towards the problem and gets more determined that she's going to be healed by Jesus because she didn't like what the doctor said. Well, she had said before that, I need 2 weeks to believe God, or 3 weeks or something, I don't know. And the doctor said, you'll be back here in 2 weeks begging me. So to her, the doctor was insulting her God, so she got mad. But sometimes we do need to get an attitude towards the devil. This healing belongs to us, and he's trying to steal it. If you're walking down the street and somebody comes along and steals your purse, ladies, you're going to get a little upset, aren't you? That's my purse. Where are you going with my purse? Give it back to me. Well, that's the way we need to be about healing. Get lost, devil. This belongs to me. You're not going to take it away from me. And I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. But see, this homeostasis principle, Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, wow. Well, we believe. Yeah, but how strong is the doubt? So this is why we have to meditate in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. I like that song we said this morning. There was a phrase in there, ancient words ever true, resounding God's own heart. The words resound the attitude of God's own heart. So when the word says, by his stripes you were healed, that is God's heart. This is his word. He's speaking them to us. And he says, by his stripes you were healed. I love you. I want to heal you. I'm not holding anything back. And so we have to realize this is God speaking to us. Sometimes we separate the word of God from God himself. And we got to take the word and we have to do something with it. Well, yes, but this is a relational thing with our Heavenly Father. Matthew 8, verse 16, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick, with a word, and healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. But when we go to Isaiah 53 and 4, let me just turn over there and read that. It doesn't say it that way. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. See, and that word sorrows in Matthew is changed to diseases. And that same word sorrows in the Old Testament can be translated diseases because that same word, some places in the Old Testament, is translated as disease. It does mean sorrows also. See, in the Greek, the words have a broader meaning. But here, the interpreters of the Bible, in Isaiah 53, took a more, they try and interpret the word in relation to what is happening. So when Jesus took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. And in Matthew, Jesus is healing the people and casting out demons to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And so here is the true interpretation of what that means in relation, by the Holy Spirit, in relation to the foreshadowing and the foreseeing by Isaiah of what Jesus went through on the cross. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. And to fulfill that, he cast out demons and healed the sick. Wow. All the sick. So when Jesus died for us and paid for our sins, it's an absolute righteousness so that we don't have to and can't come to the Father God, to the throne of grace, in our own goodness, in our own name, or in our own worthiness. We come in the name of Jesus because it represents our absolute righteousness as we've never ever sinned, never even had a negative thought all of our life. Absolute righteousness. He has perfected forever those who are being made holy. So we come into him in our absolute righteousness, but here we have absolute confirmation of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross and what the promise is. Now, if he paid for all of our sins, then he did carry away our sickness and diseases also. See, you can't separate them because it's all the same sacrifice. And here Matthew 8 confirms what he accomplished with that sacrifice. He's made us absolutely perfect, but he's also healed all our sicknesses and diseases because he carried them away. He has redeemed us from the curse. See, this is so that we can have great confidence to come to the throne of grace. Now, if we have any kind of doubt at all, this is the kind of scriptures you would look at. And as you meditate on that, this become more real in your heart by the Holy Spirit, because it's only the Holy Spirit that can make real to you the full potential of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Our heads can't take it in, our hearts can't take it in, but through meditation, it can become more real. How long do you meditate? Until the doubt is gone. He sent his word and healed them. Ancient words ever true. Resounding God's own heart. This is his heart for us. Healing, health. We don't have to die in pain. We're going to die sometime because it's accounted to die, because death is the last enemy to be put under his feet. But we don't die. We leave our body and go to be with him. I went to Pastor Dale Hoke's funeral last Friday. I appreciated what the speaker said. Dale's coffin was right there in front of him, and he was speaking, and he said, "Dale is not dead. He's been promoted. He has left his body, but he is not dead. This is not the end, because Jesus has defeated hell, death, and the grave. So we don't mourn like those that have no hope." I mean, it was a very powerful message. And that's the way we have to think as Christians. He didn't go down, he went up. The devil didn't take him out, God promoted him. It's a whole different perspective, isn't it? But how real is that in a lot of hearts? But this is truth. And this is God's heart. He is not a liar. He swore by himself that this is true, so that we could be greatly encouraged, because he promised this in the covenant to Abraham, that all nations would be blessed through him, and that blessing came through Jesus Christ, and we are blessed through Jesus Christ, and Abraham is our spiritual father of faith. So anything that your heart has trouble with, if you're doubting, where are the doubts coming from? What are you doubting? Why are you doubting? Well, it can be all kinds of reasons. Well, I don't know if God will do this. I don't know if this is his will. Man came to Jesus and said, If you are willing, you can heal me. Jesus said, I am willing. He died so we could have this. To say, I don't want to heal you. I died, paid for your sins, but I don't want to heal you. That's not love statement. That's not the character of God. This word resounds God's own heart. Wow. But you have to meditate on it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 9. Just going to go through a few scriptures. And it's, you know, it's not like we're sick every day. So we don't exercise faith for healing every day, just when we're sick. But there are so many areas that we have to exercise faith and grow in the Lord. So when we get sick, well, then we got to spend extra time on healing scriptures to raise our faith so that we can receive. And then the faith of everybody else that's praying with us. Then we stand in agreement. And the scriptures about agreement, where if two of you agree as touching any one thing, it will be done of you from your Father in heaven. That's his promises. That's his word. But if you can agree without doubting, if you need wisdom, ask God and he will give you wisdom. But it's the word of God that we're agreeing on and what Jesus accomplished. 1 Peter 5, verse 9. Resist him, the devil, standing firm in the faith. Because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And remember, we have this sin principle in our flesh. So now we're going to believe something in our heart by faith and not doubt. And that something is what Jesus accomplished on the cross and what belongs to us. But the devil is going to resist that. And he'll put thoughts into your mind. God won't heal you. You're not very important. Maybe he'll heal Pastor Bill, but not you. Why does he need you? Why does he need you healed? You know, all these negative thoughts can come. Or he'll remind you of your past. He's the accuser of the brethren 24 hours a day. And all these negative thoughts will play on your negative emotions to cause doubt. This is, it has certain desires. I mean, this is the nature of the devil, which is contrary to everything that God wants. And so you're in a spiritual battle for your healing. You're in a spiritual battle for every area of your life. This is how Kathy learned to be so strong, because she's been sick so often, because sickness is in her family on the women's side. And she's just, sometimes she had to go to the hospital because she would have needed an instantaneous, phenomenal, miraculous miracle. Not that God can't do that, but it's a whole different level also. And if it's by faith, then, you know, like I said many times, if I had a life and death situation, the doctor said there was no hope, well, I'd take 5 gallons of water, get into a cottage, and stay there and meditate and either till I'm dead or come out healed, one or the other, because the doctors can't do nothing for me anyways. Only God can, so I'm going to seek his face. I can get determined about it because I know all things are possible. And sometimes God heals instantly, and sometimes it's through faith because he wants us to get to know him in our heart as our healer. So as I said many times, God does more miracles with the unsaved or at a crusade when people are just getting saved than he does for his children, because he wants his children to grow up. He's not holding anything back. It's still there. I look at it this way. If I meditate on the word, on healing, your faith can become so strong that the doubt disappears. And it brings you up to another spiritual level of awareness of the same truth you already know. And I can't do it just by teaching you. Your faith will raise. See, this is why a lot of people preach and hype people up. to get their level of faith up, then have miracles, but then their level of faith goes back down, and when they have to receive it on their own, they can't. But we need to be strong in ourselves with all of these things. So this is why we teach on meditation and spending time in the Word. And then I believe if we all do that, then our faith combined will bring more miracles. It's a corporate thing. It's not just the anointing that's on Pastor Hank or Pastor Hank's faith or Bill's faith. It's all of us believing together. But this should stir up our faith. This is why we said, you know, let's fast and pray for a week and meditate on the Word and believe. But everybody has to have their own faith also. I can have all the faith in the world, or you can too, but if you're praying for somebody and they don't have any faith, God's not going to force it on them if they know there's healing there and they're not bothering to seek Him. So all these variables come into it. But the fact is, I'm trying to teach in such a way that helps us build our faith and the importance of doing that. And once you build that faith, then you become stronger in that area, you have less doubt, and you keep living the message, I'm walking in love, and the negative self-image starts to disappear because your rejection starts to appear, your sin disappears, you have more confidence before God because of your own heart and your relationship with Him. It's all a process of growing and developing in Him, and it's all important. But if we don't understand it, then, you know, people will run to this healing ministry or this deliverance ministry or run to this, to Benny Hinn, and not putting any of these ministers down. But the fact is, if you watch Benny Hinn on TV, and he has people come up and give testimonies, many of them will say, I knew God was going to heal me today. See, they'd been meditating, they knew about healing, they were thinking about it, they've been praying, and then when Benny Hinn showed up and prayed for them, then the healing came. But someone told me that when they worked for Benny Hinn Ministries, he'd come and do a crusade, a healing crusade, at Maple Leaf Gardens, and the hole where the ice surface would normally be, a lot of that was filled up with wheelchairs. And only one or two people were healed from the wheelchairs. See, so there's variables involved. And that's not saying anything against Benny Hinn. I'm just saying the way God works, that the people themselves have to have faith also. And so when you're listening to healing ministers or people that are teaching on healing, they're going to tell you about all the victories. They don't tell you about any of the failures because they want to build up your faith. But the reality is that you have to build up your own faith if you're really going to be strong in your heart to believe that you've received and do not doubt. I still have doubt, so I have to get into the Word. God puts me into a situation, to a religious situation, and I got to teach on healing or deliverance. I get in the Word because I know there's going to be a lot of opposition and a lot of negative thoughts there that are going to try and intimidate me, evil spirits. So I get myself built up strong. I'll meditate in the Word for 2 or 3 days on my authority in Jesus and so forth. And then I walk in there and I just go with what I know in my heart and let God be God. But I'm not going to be intimidated by any unbelief, doubt, fear, or attitudes that I can pick up. Sometimes you get into a place like that, and it's like you're teaching to a brick wall. It's like it's going out and bouncing back at you. I never have that here. I know you guys are hungry and absorbing everything, and you love the Lord. But you can get in situations where you think, wow, this is a tough place spiritually. You can sense it, that they're not receiving anything you're saying. Until the Lord does a couple miracles. Then it starts to open up. Then you pray some more and more miracles happen. It starts to break down. But there is opposition in the spiritual realm. All right. So we're all going through this. Stand firm in the faith. This is what we believe. Don't give in to those negative thoughts. Don't give in to those doubts. Quote the Word of God. It's one thing I want to talk about is quoting the Word of God today. I have here James chapter 1. No, that should be Hebrews 1 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 for a minute. Luke chapter 18. Yeah, that was Hebrews 11, 6 I read. I have James 1 and 6, but I don't know if that was a proper scripture. Let me just see what that says. The Lord sort of gave this to me this morning, and I scribbled down a few scriptures, but I think I got that one. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I guess that was a proper scripture. Does God love me? Does he not love me? Will he heal me? Will he not heal me? Is he willing to heal me? Is he not willing to heal me? You know, the devil plays mind games with us. But all the promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. God swore by himself. This is his word that resounds from his heart. It was, if God doesn't heal, then he doesn't save either, because it's all the same sacrifice. You see, you have to logically think your way through it so that doubt can't stay there, because you're getting stronger in faith by reading the word, and then the doubt disappears. When faith comes in, doubt leaves. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you just... says in Deuteronomy, and this is not difficult, that this is far beyond your reach. For the word is near you, it's in your mouth and in your heart. The word works, you got to work the word. Amen. The Bible, I mean, Jesus, God knows the problem with the human heart. He says, this is not beyond your reach. The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart, the word that we speak, the word of faith. That's what Romans chapter 10 is about. We're going to have a look there a little bit later. But here in Luke chapter 18, the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. This is truth. By his stripes I was healed. And I'm not going to stop saying it. I'm not going to stop confessing it. I'm not going to stop believing it. I'm not going to give up until my healing comes. See, if I believe God heals, then that will be my attitude. If I don't, I'll waver and I'll receive nothing, because I'm wavering. Well, I'm not believing that God is true. I'm not believing that what he accomplished on the cross is true, what his word says is true. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So either it's true or it isn't. Make up our mind. If it's true, then we just, the problem's just in our heart because of all the negative things or whatever. So then we have to just meditate in his word till it becomes stronger in us and the doubt disappears, receive our healing. Next time, we might have to go to that process again. After enough times, the word is in our heart. We just quote the word because we already know it. And we keep quoting it. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this woman keeps bothering me and nagging me, I will see that she gets justice. He did it for his own benefit, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I think this whole thing deals with our heart wanting justice and not forgiving people. Everybody is going to get justice. because everything that everybody has ever done to me and didn't care about how much they hurt me, it has affected their lives. They will get less rewards, less. It has affected their lives in a negative way. They're already getting justice. We're already getting justice. We don't realize it. Justice, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So in the end, everybody's going to get exactly what they deserve. And everything we've done to others has an effect on our heart in a negative way, which is stopping the blessings from coming. So in the end, we'll get exactly what we deserve from God. There's degrees of reward, degrees of punishment. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? God says, I'm going to look after every injustice eventually. It's going to be tribulation. His wrath is going to be poured out for those that don't accept Jesus. So he's going to bring justice to the whole world, to everyone in it, every country, every nation, everything. And so be patient, because God will bring justice. But when I come, will I find faith on the earth? See, what God is going to do, he's going to do. He knows the end result. But are we going to live in faith in spite of the fact that God is going to bring this justice in the end? To the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But the faith part is that we forgive these people, so it doesn't have a negative effect on our heart, so that we don't doubt when we come to God, so that we will have faith. Will I find faith on the earth? Yeah, I'm going to do all this, but what I want is faith in my people that will live in accordance with the fact that I am going to bring justice. Don't worry about getting even. I'll get even for you eventually. But it's the same with healing. We know he's promised it. We know we're going to have a glorified body, but we also know it's provided for us now. But do we have faith? And if we will persist in that faith, like Kathy gave so many testimonies about that, we will receive. If it's bigger, if the problem is bigger than our faith, we might need the doctor's help. We might need an operation. That's okay. We're still growing in faith. And we're believing God right to the time of the operation. And if he hasn't healed us by then, well, then we have the operation. But we go to doctors to find out what's wrong so that we can pray specifically and take authority over it specifically in faith. All right, that's the point. We have to always keep building our faith in every area of our life. But this is important for us because we're all getting older. How many know you have more aches and pains as we get older? That's not a negative confession, that's reality. Except Margaret, she's going to live to be 120 and preach the gospel and everything's going to be fine. I agree with your confession, Margaret. My faith is with yours, for you. Me, I've been through some things. I don't know if I want to stick around that long even. Anyways, that's up to us as individuals. Believe what you like, as much as you like. Because all things are possible. So you understand how this works. In Mark 11, 22 to 24, Jesus says, when you pray, believe that you have received. If you believe in your heart and do not doubt, then what you ask will be given to you. Not maybe, but it will be. The problem is not so much in believing God, it's believing God enough that the doubt disappears, which comes through meditating and confessing his word. These words of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Keep speaking them out constantly. Be careful to do all that it says, then you will be successful in all that you do. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Verse 1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So Paul is talking about the concept here of our righteousness by faith. As we've talked about many times, that now a righteousness from God has been revealed, which is through faith. We believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. It's an absolute righteousness because he paid for 100% of our sins. We've experienced Jesus in our heart, which would not have happened if he has not been raised from the dead. And if he's been raised from the dead, we know it. It's true because we've experienced him in our heart. And if he's been raised from the dead, then our sins are paid for 100%, all of them. So this is a righteousness that comes by faith. We still sin. We still make mistakes. Our heart still condemns us. But we are righteous by faith. The accuser accuses us of our past life and everything else before God. Doesn't matter. We are righteous by faith because we're praying in the name of Jesus. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, the righteousness that is by faith, that concept, would say to you, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. See, righteousness by faith would say, I'm going to heaven because Jesus has paid for all of my sins. And that same righteousness by faith and that same faith, the righteous shall live by faith. Because Jesus has done this and accomplished this, by faith now I live this new life that he has given me. It's not just get saved and I'm going to heaven, now live any which way I want. That's not righteousness by faith. Not a full concept of righteousness by faith. It's just something in people's head. But they're not living the message that goes with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his right way of life or his right wiseness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Go and bear much fruit. Then ask what you will and my Father will give it to you. See, there, if I believe that Jesus paid for all of my sins, I believe he's given me a new life. If I believe that in my heart, then I'll live that new life. Most of the church world is still under righteousness by works. They understand with their head that Jesus paid for their sins, but they don't have a revelation of it in their heart. So they don't even believe in healing. They don't understand the grace of God because they're still under works, because they don't have a full revelation of righteousness by faith. So to say who is going to heaven, righteousness by faith would never say that. Because that is to bring Christ down. See, righteousness by faith says, I'm going to heaven because Jesus already paid for my sins and I'm going to live for him too. All right? That is to bring Christ down. Or it does not say who will descend into the deep. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. See, righteous by faith realize Jesus has already been raised from the dead because that's why we're righteous. He paid for our sins. See, you would never even think, am I going to go to heaven? Am I going to hell? Righteous by faith would never think that way. Even about others. All it would say is, Jesus came down, paid for our sins. He's been raised from the dead. It's already happened. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And make disciples according to the kingdom and teach them about Jesus. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. See, here's the other part. Jesus is Lord. 65% of the people in Canada believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not even 10% go to church, and most of them are religious and living under law and legalism. So Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be delivered from all evil. For it is with your heart that you believe and you are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, it's with your heart that you believe. You can know in your head that Jesus paid for your sins and he paid for your sickness and diseases. But it's with your heart that you believe. And if your heart is still doubting, then you've got to meditate on the scriptures of healing. Scriptures that I've just read today, the concepts that I've spoken out today. What I want to say about this is make, in our, when we do deliverance, we have a confession of faith for people to get stronger in the Lord. Let me just find this here. Daily confession. Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess that I'm your child, that Jesus is my Lord, and that the word reigns over my life. I thank you for delivering me out of the power of darkness and translating me in the kingdom of your dear Son. This is what we give people after they've been delivered. As a citizen of the kingdom, I confess that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Satan is no longer my God. Jesus is my Lord, and I will serve him all the days of my life. I thank you, Father, for making your righteousness a reality in my spirit. I confess now that the Holy Spirit is revealing to me the fullness of my kingdom rights. I confess that as I feed continually on the word and apply myself to develop spiritually, that my heart is becoming fixed, established, and confident in the provision you have made for me concerning my freedom and personal deliverance. I refuse to be moved by any thought or circumstance that tries to exalt itself against your word and my freedom. According to your word, Father, I refuse to dabble with my past, for you have completely forgiven and forgotten all of my sins through the blood of Jesus. That precious blood has and is continually cleansing me from all sin. Through the blood of Jesus, I am made holy, as though I had never sinned. Through the blood of Jesus, set apart to follow after the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. I refuse to be the same person I used to be because I am a completely brand new person in Christ. See, because I believe this, I refuse to live the old way anymore. I'm going to live this new way because this is now truth. His word and life in me increases my intellect, enhances my personality, and causes me to prosper and success in succeed in absolutely all the affairs of my life. Yes, I am more than a conqueror in Christ because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Father, I thank you that I am totally delivered in the name of Jesus. I hold fast to the confession of my faith that the devil is defeated, liar, and he holds no place in me. I speak directly to the mountain of oppression in my life, and it crumbles according to Mark 11:23-1. Walk in the spirit of victory and joy. I walk in the spirit of victory and joy. Through the word, I am full of love, full of peace, and full of freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this deliverance. And having done all and overcome all, I will stand. See the positive of that. But this is a confession of their faith. And then in here, they have the scriptures to meditate on who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, what Christ has done for them. Everything is in here for them to get the victory. We talk about rejection, steps out of rejection, what to do, talk about forgiveness, inner healing, talk about the principles that Jesus taught to overcome the problems of the heart. All of this is discipleship. But it's the same principle when it comes to healing. Lord, I know you took away my sickness and disease, because Matthew 8 says that you healed all the sick and cast out all the demons to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, which is what he was saying when you were on the cross, that you took away my sickness and diseases. This is the Holy Spirit interpreting what you accomplished on the cross for me. And my righteousness by faith declares that by your stripes I am healed. And I am going to read your word and confess your word until all doubt is gone. I do not receive any doubt because this is true. This is your word coming from your heart that you have given me, Heavenly Father. I put you in remembrance of your word. And Father, I thank you that you swore by yourself to fulfill your covenant and your promise to Abraham. And that promise came to me through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus now, I have access to your throne of grace because I am absolutely righteous. And that righteousness by faith declares in my life that I am healed. So Satan, take this sickness and disease away. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Because, Jesus, you have given me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. Father, forgive me for my sins, anything that has caused separation from you in my life, even the sins that I don't realize, and I commit to continue to live for Jesus and my righteousness by faith. Thank you that I can come to your throne of grace in time of need because your love for me, for what you did through Jesus Christ for me. See, all of that, I'm just babbling away here, my confession of faith for healing. But you know, when you need healing, you got to write that down, look up the scriptures that minister to you, write them out. You know, sometimes people want me to hand out another handout. No, make your own. That's how it becomes real when you seek the scriptures and, oh, this one really ministers. Let the Holy Spirit pick out the scriptures. The one that excites your heart, write them down. And then make a paragraph out of it. Make your confession out of it. Then when you need healing, you take that up and you confess that. You put it on a tape. You listen to that night when you go to sleep because your spirit will still pick it up because it's still hearing it. See, we have to do our part. And you just keep at it and keep at it until the healing manifests. Because God will bring healing. Because the justice that God demanded was put on Jesus. And he has justified us because of that. And so we don't even deserve sickness in Christ. If we've made mistakes, or we're not listening to God, or we're not living for him, things can happen. If we don't judge ourselves and our heart when we take communion, we get more and more separated from God. Sickness comes, and we don't have the faith to get over it because our heart's not right. The problem is never with God, though. It's with us. Lack of faith, lack of spending time with him, lack of getting serious enough, persevering in spite of the pain. By his stripes, I am healed. That's what Kathy had to do. Just keep believing God no matter what. But she got an attitude that helped her to do it. She got ticked off at the devil, at the devil because of what the doctor said. You'll be back in 3 weeks begging me for an operation. It was an insult to her God. And she used that to motivate her and she's been a lot of pain and a lot of times for different things, but she will not stop believing God. She gets up in the morning early, has a coffee and has some breakfast and does her stuff, but she's listening to the word every day, praying every morning, just keeping her faith strong so that she can have her prayers answered. She's praying for others, praying for herself, believing God, listening to the word. She's just filling herself up every morning. If I get up that early, I'm done by noon. Well, she's both done by 4 o'clock. Then I make supper and do dishes because she's sleeping on the couch. But we work it out. But I know she needs to do that to stay strong. I've heard of people that were healed miraculously through faith. But then they said, these are people that have been in ministry a long time, serving God, teaching the same things we teach. They said, they had to spend a certain amount of time every day in the Word to keep their healing, to keep their faith level there until it became a reality in the heart. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So righteousness by faith would speak on this wise. It would never say, I wondered if I'm healed. It would never say, I wonder who's going to heaven. I wonder if God really loves me. Righteousness by faith would never say those things. What are we saying? What are we thinking? Does it line up with the fact that Jesus died for us and paid for our sins. And we know that's true because we've experienced him in our heart. But have we gone far enough with our confession? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we keep confessing truth. Our heart keeps hearing it, keeps reinforcing the faith we already have. Keep reading the Word of God. Make your own confession sheet. Look up the Scriptures. Put your own confession together and keep speaking that out. Speak day and night, 24 hours a day. Listen to it. Put it on a tape, whatever. As you're driving, memorize. Eventually, you'll memorize what you're saying. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it. But you're saying it not as a formula that, poof, this is going to happen. Oh, Lord, I thank you that this is true. And I thank you that faith is developing in my heart. Doubt is leaving because of what you did for me, Lord, because you love me. And you're not holding anything back from me. I just got to develop some more faith. Thank you for helping with me with that, Holy Spirit. Make this a reality to me so that my heart can fully accept all that my Lord has done for me. It's not just a formula. It's a relationship with Jesus. This is the problem where people will go home and read it again, read it again, read it again. Okay, is it real yet? Read it again. Becomes a formula instead of a relationship. All right, so anyways, I hope that helps you a little bit to understand this process and that Kathy and I have to go through this. When I had my operation, I just kept telling the Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for giving me my strength back. Thank you that I'm good for another 20 years because you've fixed my body. Thank you for getting me in the hospital before anything drastic happened. Thank you for getting me there on time. Appreciate because God is looking after you. Every day, Lord, thank you for my health. I am thanking him every day for my health because I want to stay strong for him so I can keep teaching this stuff till I'm 80, 85, according to his will, but I keep believing him every day, thanking him every day. If there's something you have to take authority over, do it every day. Sickness and disease, in Jesus' name, leave my body. You do not have the right to stay there. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It belongs to Jesus. I've given it to my Lord. I'm in control of it, but Jesus is through my will because I've given my will to him. You take your sickness and disease and take a hike. That's how righteousness by faith would speak. Anything other than that is not righteousness by faith. It's coming to God in your own goodness, and you don't feel good enough, and none of us are anyway, so forget about that. Pray in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that with each and every heart, you would take us deeper by your Holy Spirit to these truths that we already know in our head. But Lord, the faith is of the heart, and we have to receive this through our hearts, not through our heads, not through agreement, but through faith and believing. It is ours. It already belongs to us. You already love us. You've already accepted us. Wow, it's so wonderful, Lord. It's hard to keep our heart and our mind around it sometimes because you are so good. But Lord, we know you are, or we wouldn't be even here this morning. So Lord, even this morning as we pray for people, we stand together in agreement by the word of faith, by our righteousness by faith, by what you've accomplished on the cross, all because of you, Lord Jesus, and what you've done. And we thank you that you confirm your word with signs and wonders. Whether it's instant or not, our confession of our faith in you and what you accomplished will not change. We don't care if people die around us. 10,000 fall on our right hand and 10,000 on our left. But we are healed by your stripes. We take that stand because of what you did, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. Amen. All right. If there's anyone that wanted prayer, you weren't here last week, we have Pastor Bill come up and...